spoken so long ago from Solomon continues to speak to us in this presence of our Lord God. And we thank you for giving it to us, for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, Father God. And for this, we give you thanks and give you the honor and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Wow, wow, wow. You know, we're continuing in Proverbs, and we're on lesson 18. And throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon talked about words. He continued talking about words and the power of words. And this passage of scripture talks about synopsis. Words have the power to build or destroy. Wisdom is shown through humility, restraint, and wise association. Wise association. Be mindful of who you got around. Be mindful. You know, and just thinking about how those words have power and how they can build and how they can destroy. And we know through the Word of God that everything that was created was through the Word. He spoke it. And Jesus reminded us also that we have that same type of power. You know, and too often we don't use that power to build the right way. You know, because we live in a world and a society that is not really about building up people. It's really just creating soldiers. So it's more about creating direction for people instead of building people up to be who God had called them to be. You know, and God don't want, if, I believe if God wanted us to be robots and be doing something that everybody else was doing, he would have done it. But that wasn't his purpose. And that's why each one of us have our own individual fingerprint. Nobody in the world, 8 billion people, have different fingerprints. So not only do we have different fingerprints, we have different purposes. And God wants us all to live in our purpose. But in order for us to live in our purpose, we got to be obedient in hearing the Word of God. First of all, we got to know who we are. We gotta be able to identify that we are kingdom citizens. We are God's children. We are chosen people for God one. We are called out. You know, each and every one of us is here because we were called out. And the difference between the call is we responded to the call. You know, there's many other who were called. I know I was called before, but I didn't respond. There was plenty of times he called my name. He asked for me, but I didn't respond because I was busy chasing after what the world was doing and what I was doing in the world. So it got to a point where I wanted something more that I couldn't offer, no one could offer to me but God. You know, and this is something that Solomon is talking about here in the book of Proverbs, a man who had everything that the world could offer. There was nothing that he desired or could have wanted that he couldn't have. Not a thing. And it got to a point where he lost himself in those things. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, we pray and ask God for some things, and those things become more to us than what God is. And Solomon want to bring us back. Because he know what it is to get all that stuff but lose the relationship with God. And he wants to help us so we don't have to go through that. And that's what we're talking about here through the book of Proverbs. So here in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. One of the things it says here, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. My goodness. See, here he's talking about isolation and selfishness leads to destruction. And the enemy is good in trying to isolate us. He wants us to get into our feelings to set ourselves apart from everybody else, to think, to make us feel that nobody else can help us out or give us any answers. So all we have to hear is who? Him and ourselves. We hear ourselves talk over and over again. Whatever rage is in us, whatever feeling is in us, all that stuff continues to perpetuate in our head over and over again. And that's what Solomon is talking about here in the scripture. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. All wise judgment. And that's why it's important that we don't allow ourselves to be isolated. You know, and that's why it's important, you know, we talk about the church and the body of Christ and coming together and why it's important that we do that. Because you need to have, that's why I thank God for my Harvest family. You know, because it gives me a place of where I can come and get truth and not worry about how someone looks at me. Because I may have made a mistake or did something wrong. You know, because see, the world will beat you up. Definitely, if you, even in the church, they'd be like, oh, you did that? What? Yeah, they put you on a pedestal. They put you on a pedestal. And that people forget, we're human too. We're still growing and learning. I tell people all the time, look, I'm excited because I'm doing stuff I've never done before. So when doing stuff you've never done before, you think you ain't gonna make no mistakes. You know, but thank God he placed us around wise counsel. And that's why it's important for us to not isolate ourselves. Definitely when you make a mistake. We got a question on safety.
The Hebrew word for isolation. Simple as it sounds is baidu. And it means to isolate. And it's just the state of being alone or separated. So that doesn't sound too bad if you think about it. But it is in the word, and those of us in Christ know that that is exactly how the enemy operates in the beginning of time, was to separate us from the relationship of God. Which why it works so effective in bringing you down when you isolate or when you separate yourself from others, whether it's in selfishness in helping or in self gain to get. If you isolate yourself, you're working absolutely contrary to the relationship process God established at the very beginning of life, which was supposed to bring on life and prosperity.
What I was thinking was, I feel like I was isolated at one time, but I felt like it was for a good reason. And I felt like it was for a moment, it was, you know, to get from around the things that I was used to that wasn't doing me any good. So it did isolate me for a minute. But it's important to know what you want out of life and who you are, because me being isolated wouldn't help me, and me being around what I was used to wouldn't help me. But me wanting better and not wanting what I was used to and being around the people who, I guess, wasn't teaching me anything or giving me the knowledge that I wanted, and it forced me to want better. And that's what got me here at Harvest and around you and around the Harvest family. And I'm saying all that to say is, it's important that, I'm losing my train of thought. What I'm trying to say. I want to say it's kind of important to know who you are around and their obedience. because I wouldn't be here if you guys were doing the same thing what I was used to, you know what I'm saying? So to be around the Harvest family and see you guys being obedient, nobody perfect, but to see you guys doing things I'm not doing and being better how I want to be better is very motivational and inspire me to keep coming back and to keep wanting to grow with you guys. So in a way, I guess I'm getting a Harvest family, giving you guys your flowers, but it's important to, you know, who you want to be around, what you want.
Yes. Definitely.
I just wanted to confirm what you were saying about the importance of being around. And if you were just saying about the importance of being around people who can actually restore you.
Yes.
Galatians 6:1 says, and I'm reading it from the International Standard Version. It says, brothers, if a person is caught doing something wrong, don't do everything right. Those of you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. Watch out for yourself so that you're not tempted as well, but we're responsible for each other. We are our brother's keeper, but it's the way that we do it. And last week, you said something about giving them the truth and love. There's a way to do it. I remember coming up in churches, and the girls would come in with the short skirts on, and immediately the church mothers would attack them. You know, now we train the others, just don't sit them in the front row. Sit them in the back so it's not as distracting. And then you go to them afterwards and talk to them. And if they don't have anything, take them to those to get them. Don't just throw them over them and say, you got to do it. It's all about how we serve these people. That's what we're all here for. We're all here as ministers to serve each other.
You know, that is so powerful. Because just imagine, I'm coming here because I'm hurt. I don't know any better. And I don't know how to dress. I don't know church etiquette. I don't know what's right, basically. And I'm coming in to get healed. I'm looking for healing. And you isolate me because how I look. You don't know me, but because how I look, I get isolated. You know, and is that love? You know, and people wonder why people suffer from church hurt. You know, because there's a way to do it. You know what just came to my mind? I thought about when the Pharisees brought the adulterous woman before Jesus and said, with the Old Testament said she was supposed to be stoned. And Jesus said, whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. Just imagine if we ask all those church ladies or church men, if you ever wore clothes that wasn't appropriate, you throw the first stone.
Right.
None of them couldn't throw a stone. See, we forget where we come from. Not everybody grew up in the church, in the body of Christ. No one, and even those who were brought up didn't do everything right. The word tells us everyone has sinned and fallen short. Everyone, not one has it. Not one, but Christ. Yes.
Yes.
Sin is a sin is a sin. Yes.
First point, you talked about isolation.
Yes.
And it was good for you, that separation. The whole in Matthew 24, the Holy Spirit took Jesus up to the mountain by himself. To be tempted, the word says. And so often we hear people, and we gotta be careful when we say the word sometimes and don't give explanation or the truth of it, because people in context, people get the wrong understanding. God, the Holy Spirit of God, God took him there. So there's separation, yeah, it's good for you sometimes. God will make us sit down and be still. On the flip side of that, Elijah went and came and isolated. God didn't take him in that cave. In fact, God told him to come out of there. What you doing? There are times that God will take you away from everything, and I mean everything. But it's a good place. It really is. It just may not feel good. Jesus didn't eat for 40 days. Physically, that could not have felt good, right? But it was good for him and all of us. So that's a good place. And then on the flip side of that thing about
being judged for what we look like and all that. I'm going to share this story with you. I went to a service last night. Everybody here already knows. I'm an ordained, not just old, you know, because I'm elder. All right. I'm an ordained now. But I don't go walk around telling me, hey, I'm Elder Carvella. Hey. That, because the title is really for men. It has nothing to do with who I really am in being able to operate in the spirit, but in Christ. And I wore pants and a shirt. I wore pants and a shirt. And the usher, which always happens to me, the church was already there. My husband and I were busy. So we didn't get there before service started. But the ushered us all the way up front, that is right in front of you, right in front of the preacher. It was a convocation service. Anybody know what I mean? I was in pants and a shirt. Everybody else was dressed in dresses and long dresses and all. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right there. Because I have always been, God has always said that you're not traditional because I called you to do the work. I didn't call you to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look like everybody else, it's okay. And I'm saying this to say to you, when you get separated, you don't look like everybody else. You don't even talk like everybody else. And it's good place, but is it a place where you might feel lonely? You're gone.
Yes. You know, that is so powerful because sometimes we get caught up and we are afraid to be set apart.
Yeah.
You know, and that could have been a position where you could stop that usher and be like, oh, no, I don't want to be in that. You know, but knowing who you are, that's the difference. It's not about, like you said, it's not about what you wear. Because who you are is on the inside. That speaks volume. It comes out. It's not based off of appearance. You know, and I just want to say this one thing. I was in Ross the other day. And two times, someone came up to me and said, just God bless you. And just gave me scripture. Just out of nowhere. Two different people at two different times. And I was like, so much. You know, that's a blessing. I'm filled with that. You know, and I was like, that's a brave thing to do because not too many people would do that.
Mm.
You know, I said, there's blessings on you because you're showing who you are as a child of God. You know, and they did that. They know who I was. And sometimes you don't have to say something. Who you are.
Yes, Keisha.
We are peculiar people, that's good. And the definition of peculiar is stranger or unusual. As long as you know who you are and you can walk in your authority, don't worry about being like you. Be happy that God actually separated you from it because what I teach my people is that the closer you get to God, the further you get away from sin. You know, and as far as health and as far as being concerned about what you wear, I can fight the demon with what I have.
I know you're ready.
Okay, I know who I am.
There you go. That's powerful right there. Judge.
Again, it's their level of sin. They're breaking their sin. But by sitting in the church and judging, that's double condemnation on them. So and they're going to reap what they sow.
You know, and we don't we still on verse one. You know, and one and two. You know, it's what you just spoke about as far as judging. You know, we live in a society, and I was just reading scripture about judgment. You know, and God talks about, he tells us that we're going to have to answer to him for us judging other people. You know, because it's not our place to judge. You know, it's what we're supposed to do is correct in love. You know, yes, you know. And that's the part that we have they're so quick to point a finger at someone else of what they're not doing right, and point the finger back at ourselves. You know, so we have to be very mindful of that.
Just to piggyback off of what you said about angry, I literally went yesterday and had to do my physical, my internship. And Dr. comes in and we do all those things we saw. But at the end, she said, "Can I pray for you?"
Now,
the doctor. I was elated because I was impressed that she stepped outside of her personal profession and she yielded to the Holy Spirit and she prayed. And what she prayed for me, I'm going to just tell you, it went for me like 10 stories high and beyond anything. And when I was able to back for her, and it was just so much love, and just the whole atmosphere was full of the Holy Spirit, and I was just so, I just told her, come on, doctors don't do that, they just don't come in, and we were talking, like you said, she, and I never said nothing about nothing, it was just, seems like, I just don't know what to express how I wanted.
Awesome, awesome. So here it says in verse 2, it says, "Fools rush to speak, not to understand." It says, verse 2 says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." You know, Pastor Ray often talk about here at the church that he don't want us to ever be preaching about our opinions. He wants us always to be preaching the word of God, you know, and not just with one scripture. Anything we say, we need to back it up with two or three scriptures, you know, because one scripture you can twist around, but two or three you can't, you know, it confirms itself, you know, and that's we have to be mindful of that and definitely being around people. Like you said, being mindful of the people who we're around, you know, because foolish people want fools around them, you know, to, yes, they enjoy people doing the silly stuff that they're doing. And I can remember that. I was one of those silly kids who did stupid stuff, you know, and not think about the consequences of my actions, you know. And even if I heard someone say that, I had to be mindful of it, you know, and make a conscious decision not to follow what everybody else was doing, you know. And that's what Paul is about. I mean, Solomon is reminding us about that as far as being mindful of not speaking too fast, not opening your mouth because you have an opinion about something. You know, I've learned to, if I hear somebody saying something and they don't, and I try to say something and they continue to say what they want to say, I shut my mouth. It's time for me to shut my mouth and allow them to do what they want to do. Because obviously what I have to say don't matter. You know, so we have to learn when not to speak. You know, we have to be okay with it. Not taking the offense, you know, because we were there to deliver, but they weren't there to receive. You know, and that's, and God knows. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. You know, and that's why it's important. You got anything you want to say about that? So it says here, lesson. A fool talks first and listens last. Wisdom seeks understanding before speaking. So we got to be mindful. If you want to learn something, seek understanding. You know, definitely, you know, that's why I say I get excited because when I'm doing something I've never done before. Today I was out here, I had to pop the lock before I bent the machine because they lost the key. And the lock we got wasn't the right lock. So I popped that one, and then I had to figure out how to make the other one work. You know, and it took some time, But pastors say this, if it can't think, it can't be. You know, so I had to figure out a way to make it work. You know, and that's the awesomeness about God. But it says, a fool talks first, listens last, listens. It says, application. Listen more than you speak. Seek clarity before giving opinions. Seek clarity before giving opinions. You know, because we all have opinions. We all have our own opinion. But you want to have clarity before you say something. You don't want to lead anybody down the wrong direction. You know, and if you don't know, say you don't know. It's okay not to know. It's okay not to know. And send them to somebody who got the answer. You know, I know marriage counseling ain't mine. But I say, look, I got somebody who can help you out with that, Pastor Bruce. And I introduce him to Pastor Bruce. I know what my lane is. And it's like, hey, we got to be okay in operating and not gifting. God ain't calling us to do everything. Everybody has a different purpose. You know, and I think this is where the church, the body of Christ, has the mark, because we're supposed to be activated as a kingdom, and the kingdom acts in unity. You know, when there's so much separation in the body of Christ, and so instead of us growing, we're growing but individually, you know, and that's not the body of Christ. Yes, and that's what the enemy wants. So long as he can keep us separated, we lose our power. We lose our authority. Because we're not on one accord. You want to read verses, let's go from 3 to 12.
When the wicked man comes to the death of people, contempt, all of that is pure and good. And what inner baseness, dishonor, comes out of him, scorn. The words of a man's mouth are like the deep waters, copious and difficult to fathom. The fountain of mature godly wisdom is like a bubbling stream, sparkling fresh, pure, and life-giving. To show respect to the wicked person is not good, nor to push aside and deprive the righteous of justice. A fool's lips will bring contention and strife, and his mouth invests a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer, gossip, are like the dainty morsels to be greedily eaten. They go down into the innermost chambers of the body to be remembered and mused upon. He who is careless in his work is a brother to him who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is safe and set on high far above evil. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall of protection, his own imagination and conceit. Before disaster, the heart of a man is haughty and filled with self-importance. But humility comes before honor.
So, as we look at that, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. You know, as I was reading that yesterday, I was like, what is haughty? I was like, I need to look that up. You know, and that's when you begin to be deceptive. And I look at my life, and I look at the path that I began to take when my heart began to change, and I started becoming different towards people. And it happened at a young age 13, and I seen my father for the first time. And after seeing him, no more than a week later, I never seen him again. And my uncle who took me to see him disappeared. Found out I had a grandma, she wasn't around. And all my life as a young man, growing up, as far as I can remember, I always desired having my father in my life. And to have it for that moment, to have it for that moment, and to lose it, broke me. And I really didn't understand it then. I didn't even recognize that was the time where I became destructive in myself and in my life. But as when I went away, I had an opportunity to reflect on that. And God showed me, he said, he reminded me, he said, that I am your father. You know, and too often, we get caught up in the loss of things that the world provides for us. You know, and that means relationships, because our parents let us down. Relationships let us down. Our children let us down. Those things let us down. And what happens is, it eats us. It eats us. It don't even affect them. You know, honestly, sometimes they might not even recognize that they did anything wrong. You know, but we carry a weight. We become destructive in our own selves, in our own relationships. And we become fools based off of how we feel and what we think. And that's what Solomon reminded us of. And we were sharing a little earlier prior to about relationships and marriages and how we put so much on someone else. And speaking of myself, you know, I became jealous of my wife's relationship with God. And I wanted her to put me number one. I became high in myself. You know, because my immaturity in my relationship in the Word of God, they say you leave your mother and your father, you join your wife, and y'all become one. You know, so I thought I was supposed to put her first. And she's supposed to put me first. That's what I did in my first marriage. But I wanted that in this relationship because I still didn't have an understanding of comfort. You know, and this is for the body of Christ. We gotta understand it don't come this way first. It comes this way. And then it goes outward. Because like my wife told me, he will never let me down. Never. Never. See, we will let each other down. Not intentionally. Some unknowingly. But it will happen. It will. It will happen. Every time. So, and that's the part where the love of Christ has to be in us. And that's why it has to start here. My wife told me, she said, the only reason why I'm still with you right now and willing to give you a chance is because I prayed and asked God that the one he brought into my life was the one he brought. But if I don't see you following him, I can't follow you. Because you're supposed to be the head of the household. You know, and that was so powerful to me. Because I knew what I had. But I didn't recognize it for what it was. And sometimes we take things for granted in ignorance. Because I was ignorant at that time. But I know better now. You know, and that's what this is about. So we can't be fools and his relationship. And that's why it says here, world can be destructive or life-giving. Mm-hmm. That word my wife gave me, it was life-giving. You know, and that's why we got to be mindful that we are giving life in the words that we speak to people. This book right here is all about life. It's life-giving. It's life-giving. Is it destruction in it? Yes. Well, who calls it destruction? We do. We bring it about ourselves. But God has given us a Savior. He's given us a Savior. Well, we ain't got to do nothing but just be obedient. Obedience is better than a sacrifice. The sacrifice has already been made. We don't have to do it no more. You know, I'm excited today because we have another young man come in here today or for invitation. He didn't even know where he was going. But he knew God was there because he was told that and he trusted it and he was obedient to it. I invited many people out. I see. You know? But everybody gets it in their own time. And it's just our job as children, as a body of Christ, to continue to send out the invitation. To let them know that it's available to you too. It's not mine. It's not anybody's. God is for everybody. You just got to seek it out for yourself. He's been knocking on your door too. And it says here, in verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Those who love it will eat its fruits. Now the key is, what type of fruit are you putting out? What type of fruit are you putting out? You know, see, we got to be mindful. And we've been talking about words for a while now from the beginning, from chapter 1 of Proverbs. Because words have so much power. Like we said, God created everything we see through words. Through words. And if we start speaking, and many of us can attest to it, we talk positive, and we walk positively, and we speak positive stuff, we begin to see those things manifest itself in our life. But when we speak negatively and people speak negative to us and we receive it, we get what we hear and what we speak in our own life. And that's why we got to be mindful of what we say out of our mouth. That's what Solomon is reminding us of right here. Can you read what it says? That next passage of scripture 12:8. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Healing. You know how you were just talking about how your doctor who can prescribe all kinds of medicine for you and give you all types of stuff to heal you, but she prayed for you. She knew what was more powerful than any medicine she could have gave you was prayer. She prayed healing over you. And that's the power of words. That's the power of words. We can speak healing. Yes, we got family. We have so much authority in the body of Christ. But too often we were linked
Listen, there was a time that nothing happened here in the United States without the body of Christ. It going through the church first. It went through the church first. Nowadays, the church is the last place they come. Because now they got social media, they got other ways to reach people. Because the church has lost its authority. But the truth is, we haven't lost it. It's in us. We just got to use it. We got to use it without being fearful. You know, we got politicians right now scared to speak in authority. The authority that they have, they've been given by the people. They're scared to use it because of one man. See, but what happens is, let me be honest. It's not about him. It's about them losing that authority that they think they have. That's what that's about. And that's the same thing what happens with the body of Christ. We scared to come in front of some stuff because we afraid of losing people. People having opinions about us. So instead of fearing God, we're fearing people. Family, we giving up our authority. And that's what Solomon is reminding us. He says, words shape destinies, reputations, and relationships. Use your words to speak life, not death. Be intentional in every conversation. We got to be intentional with every conversation we have about lifting people up, building people up. Yes, yes. I was teaching my students in here. I said, look, we need to be edifying. I need to see you walking through here edifying. Speaking life into them, lifting them up, encouraging them. That's what leadership is about. And it's not patty caking them, making what they're doing right. Definitely they're doing something wrong. It's about them encouraging them to do better, to be better. And the way you do that by being an example. Love comment.
Make sure I clarify this. Because often I need to look. We tell everybody that we have the authority, which we do. But why do we have authority? Because if I don't know Christ, and I say to you, you have the authority, and things don't happen, or maybe they do happen, you're going to think you have all the power. That's not so. Matthew 28 says that Jesus says that God had given him all authority. Which means that you have to have Jesus to have the authority. Otherwise, you don't have the authority. Yeah, you get some things done, but you don't have all authority on earth without Jesus. With that, though, with that authority, he said you had authority. Jesus said you have authority to trample on demons and on their necks and on scorpions, and meaning to put everything that's not like Christ under your feet, and they didn't have any power over you. But even with that, if you don't understand that in order to have that, you have to be in the presence of God again. It don't just come just because. Why am I saying this to you? Because we do have the authority. I was in another service. God, I'm like, I don't want you to with me, but do that what you will. Friday night, and they were talking about neighborhoods that are being trampled on by drug addiction and the violence in women. Guns and all that. And the lady was so distraught. She kept saying, I don't know what to do. I called the police and I told them, da, 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 da. And the Holy Spirit would not let me sit there and I tell her, but you got the authority. She said, I'm praying. I said, but you got to tell your neighbor who believes in Jesus Christ that got the authority too. Because they can't run your neighborhoods unless you give up your authority.
You know, that's so powerful. Growing up in the 80s and the 70s, there was authority in the community. respect that was there, that was given, you know, because the families were praying, but the men were stepping up, you know, and there was a respect that we had for our elders and our community that we lived in, you know, even though drugs were there, you know, but there was a respect that was given. And like Elder said, we've given up that authority, you know, and we have to take that back.
I just
want to
piggyback on what Elder was saying, that when you give up the authority, because you're giving it up, you don't even realize you have it, you know, but when you don't walk in your authority, you're giving those things a legal right to be there because that's that right. Or even when you spoke that and said, I don't know what to do, I can't do. I was reminded today that I had said something that was negative, and I was told very quickly to reverse what that thing is. You know, but people don't realize when you speak something negative, you're speaking it not just over your life, but you're putting it into the atmosphere. And God is charged to our words, like Pastor Rob was just saying. Everywhere that we speak, we're going to be held accountable for it. It says that in Matthew. So if you speak a negative word, it has to manifest. It has to manifest. When you're speaking, word curses over yourself. So you're giving the devil your thoughts.
You know, that's awesome because it just goes back to what we talked about, how words have power.
Yeah.
You know, if you say I can't do anything, that's what's going to happen. You're not doing anything. You know, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. You know, it may take some time, but it's going to get done. You know, and I need you to join in with me. You know, that's how we need to speak.
Yeah.
You know, that's how she should have been talking. I'm going out. Who gonna stand with me? You know, we gotta stand on that authority. You know, and what happens is, and this is what's happening in our neighborhoods: a fear of death and fear of repercussions. You know, and see, fear freezes every available resource. So we can't fear death. Christ who strengthens us. If I do die, so be it. Let me be a martyr, because somebody else is going to step up too. And if I get more of us standing in place, they ain't going to do it to all of us. So the more we stand on what God says, the more power we're going to have. And that's the same thing with everything that we're dealing with. Go ahead, last time.
I
want to
share this nugget because you say God strengthens. A lot of times people say, how do we strengthen us? All we have to do to get that strength exchange is to please God. Give him, do whatever brings him joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we make God smile, he gives us a strength exchange. And so it's an exchange right there.
Listen, we all are here because of the strength of God. We ain't here on our own because a whole lot of us are wore out, beat down, been beat down. But the strength of God is keeping us and propelling us. And, you know, I was telling the brother here today, his obedience, I'm excited for him because I don't know what God has in store, but because of his obedience, God got some blessings on the horizon for him. You know, and I'm excited. I'm just looking forward to hearing the story. You know, just like I told my brother Jermaine a long time ago, a few years ago, if he begins to trust God and allow God to lead and direct him, what he sees is nothing compared to what God is going to do. You know, and I'm excited for everybody, those out there who are listening to the podcast. And man, what God has in store for you, you couldn't even think or imagine. Ask me how I know, because I'm living a life that I never, ever thought I would be living. I didn't even think I would be living, period. But God, trusting him and allowing him to lead me. And if you allow him to lead you, family, I'm telling you, you have no idea what he has for you and those connected to you. Because it's not just about us. It's not just about us. Because as we do what God tells us to do, There's lives that's connected to us that's going to be affected. And you need to be excited about that. Again, yeah, last comment. She got, I see it whirling up in her. She wants to hear it.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And He shall direct your path. God just told me to tell you that He is directing your path. I'm going to not share my faith. You know what I think? He said He brought you here because He's taking you to the next level. He told me to tell it in front of the audience. Normally I didn't say, God, do you want me to say this to everybody? He said, you need to know before the people or the witnesses that they will witness where God takes you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Albert. Thank you for your obedience. Family, we're getting close right now. We only touched on a few verses here in this said passage of scripture. But we got more to come. We're excited about what God is doing here. We invite you to be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest on Wednesdays, Sundays, whatever you can make it out. There's something happening here every single day. And not only that, there's purpose on your life. And we here at Harvest want to help you ignite that purpose, live out that purpose, live out that mission that God has called you to. And that's our mission here at Harvest, to help you be who all that God has called you to be. So with that being said, as we say all the time, this word don't cost a thing. And if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed into the vision and what we're doing here and how we're able to continue the mission, please, there's information coming up on the screen where you can sow a seed. Download our app to find out what's happening here at Harvest. Check us out on our website and join us on our podcast on Sundays and Wednesdays. God bless you. We love you. And we look forward to seeing you again. God bless. If anybody want to
I'll put him up front. Okay, right up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. Oh, what's the word? Shit. Oh,
Jesus said,